And I believe the Lord is wanting to encourage this church. And what I believe he's wanting to add to the church. Matthew 16 and verse 13 said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to preach tonight on let the church go on. Amen. Let the church go on. Men have predicted the fall of the church for many years. The newspapers many a times gloat all over the loss of influence of the church. Many a times in political seasons, there's a cry out to put down people of, well, they call us prejudice now because that we believe in a certain thing of morality. I'll tell you, I don't believe in prejudice because of skin color. But we've been preaching morality since the times before Moses. And so I'm just going to tell you that's old-fashioned godliness. And now the newspapers have been gloating over the loss of influence that the church has. And because that they have not been able to rally the cry against the wickedness that's going on in America, where that we're going more and more towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to know that this is not new. Men have wanted the church to go out of existence for years. There was a king that arose, I believe it was in France, who was planning on persecuting the church, and one of his advisors said to him, the church is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. Let the church go on, folks. Amen. Yes, there have been people that felt as though the Chinese church would go out of existence when Mao Zedong took over and the communists took over and persecution broke out. But you know, they just went underground and kept on preaching the gospel and testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he saves from sin. And right now in 2016, there's more Christians in China than there was when the communist revolution took place. In fact, they say that as the Chinese church grows, there will come a day, if it keeps on growing the way that it is, that there will be more Christians in China than there is in any nation in the world. And I want to tell you right now, the church will go on. I want it to go on with me, and I want it to go on with you as well. Praise the name of Jesus. Back in the years when Bloody Mary ruled in Scotland, they tried to put down the Covenanters, they called them. And Robert Gilchrist spoke of the Covenanters in Scotland who died as martyrs. The martyr's great principle was, we may suffer, but we must not sin. And they habitually chose suffering rather than sinning. Now that's commitment, my friend. And that's the type of commitment that Jesus has for us. He came into this world, suffered upon an old rugged cross, and rose from the dead. And He is the builder of the church. And I declare that the church will go on, even though many predict that it is going to be, amen, destroyed. You can't do much with a determined group like that. They will go on. There is a reason why they will. It's because that we're founded upon a rock. Amen. Now, some have tried to make Peter this rock. And if it were, I could understand why people would think the church would collapse. For Peter was only a pebble in the great work of the Lord. Amen. He was a small stone. And I want to tell you, this rock that I believe the church is founded upon is not an apostle, and it's not just an earthly man. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ that came into this world from eternity past, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, rose from the dead, and overcame death, hell, and the grave. He is the one that is going to build the church. If Jesus could be destroyed, then the church could be destroyed. But the church is just as sure as its foundation. They used hammers to try to destroy Jesus before, by putting hammer and nail together and piercing His hands and His feet. And I want to tell you, the nails and the hammer are rusted away into nothingness, but Jesus lives on. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, just as sure as Jesus is on the right hand of the Father in heaven, in a golden city, amen, that has foundations of great and precious stones, amen, the church is going to go on. If the devil could steal the throne of God, then he could take the foundation out from underneath the church, but he can't do that. Amen. If the devil could take away the precious stones of which the foundation of heaven sets upon away, then he could also take away our foundation. But you know, he can't get rid of one of those precious stones, much less the foundation. If the devil could have defeated Jesus, he'd still be in a tomb. I want you to know, Jesus Christ came out of the grave completely victorious. The tomb could not hold him whatsoever. Amen. Samson was held captive in a certain city, and they thought they could close the gates, amen, and trap Samson inside that city and destroy the judge of Israel. Amen. But in the night, he woke up and realized the trap that he was in, and he went up to the gates that one place I read, I think they weighed 12,000 pounds. Amen. He got a hold of the gates, and he pulled them off of the hinges and carried them, amen, I think it was 30 miles away, and set them up on top of a hill. You know what Samson did? He carried the gates so far away, they couldn't put it back on their hinges. Amen. It was a memorial of the strength of Samson when the Spirit of God moved upon him. And I want to tell you right now, amen, the devil may have felt like he had Jesus trapped in death. Amen. But on the third day, he went to the gates of death and pulled them off the hinges and carried them so far away, amen, that no devil is able to put it back on the hinges. That means that us that trust in him are free. Hallelujah. The church is going to go on. Amen. Back years ago, there was a famous atheist that announced within 100 years Christianity would only be in history, but would not be a church. They would have Bibles and museums. Amen. I believe that atheist name was Voltaire. But 100 years, amen, from his death, there was a Bible society, the American Bible Society, that bought his his home and bought his printing press and printed Bibles. And I still have a Bible right now, many, many years after he had passed his prediction. The false prophets have said the church is going to die, the Bible's going to die. Amen. But the church is going to go on, my friend. Hallelujah. The church is going to go on. It was built by Jesus Christ. Jesus that built the universe. Amen. The one that set the worlds in order and caused the stars to blaze and made the sun so bright and hung the moon in the sky. Amen. That one that causes the seasons to change and makes a border for the ocean to stay just where it is, even though there is high tide and low tide. The one that made courses for the rivers. Amen. And put life in man and woman and animals and beast, that caused vegetation to grow. Amen. It caused the blessedness of this world. That one that made this world has said, I'm going to build my church. I'll just tell you what, if the devil could extinguish the sun or put out the stars, he might put down the church, but he can't do it. Amen. He can't change the seasons. He can't stop the flowers from blooming. Amen. Or the moon from coming up. And he ain't going to stop the church from going on. I say the church is going to go on, my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Amen. And he's building up there that glorious place for his bride. He is still the architect of this superstructure. And the devil has as much chance of stopping the church as he has of putting the sun out or robbing heaven of its pearly gates. The church is going to go on, my friend. Amen. It's a triumphant church. The Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And in the Old Testament, especially in Bible times, when there were authorities that would meet, we talk about City Hall or the Capitol building, they would meet at the gates and do their business. But I want to tell you, the gates are the greatest authority of the enemy of the church. But Jesus already prophesied and said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Our fortress is safeguarded by our walls. That's why we believe in separation. There has to be a distinction between us and the world. And when the world gets churchy and the church gets worldly, amen, there's no distinction. But thank God, the church must go on in its protection of separation, not isolation. I don't mean that. We want to go out and win the lost, but we have to have a separated life in order to be protected from the powers of hell. Amen. I know some people don't like holiness, but I thank God for holiness that comes from a holy God, because he protects us and keeps us where the church can go on. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you this, we're not just a defensive church behind walls. Amen. It says that we're to take the offense. We're to go on just a little bit further. It did not say that the devil was going to wage war against the gates of the church. It said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so we gather together in these walls and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and get filled with power and fellowship one with another and hear the word of God and let the Holy Ghost come and fill us up. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's preparing us for war. Amen. We take the blood of Jesus. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. We take the power of the Holy Ghost. Ghost, and we go out from these walls and we assault the gates of hell that's in our community. We do it through our prayer life. We do it through our worship. And I want you to know that God has already granted our success. Amen. This church right here is a warrior church, and it's on the march. We march on our knees. We march when we testify to the people that's around us of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's a church militant, but it's a church triumphant. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Keys can lock and unlock things. Some people have keys to the church. They can either close this thing down or open it up. I'm telling you, the keys to the kingdom open up things for the blessings of the Lord, but it also closes down things. And we need to find our keys, folks. There have been a few times I've seen some ladies looking for keys in their purse. They had to empty all the stuff out in order to find the keys. Many times that's what the church has to do. We got to get rid of all the extra stuff. Amen. And focus in on the authority that God has given to us. And we get an empty, amen, an empty heart where we can find the keys that the Lord has given us. I believe it's time for the church to awaken out of its slumber. God has given us the blood of His precious Son and saved us and delivered us. God has blessed us with sanctifying holy power that is an experience that changes our life. God has baptized us in the Holy Ghost, and He's also given us the gifts of the Spirit where people can be healed, miracles can take place. We can have tongues and interpretation of tongues. We can have direction given by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Amen. God can even open up our mouths in prophetic utterance. Amen. And I thank God for all of these mighty weapons. Amen. But if we do not use them, and if we do not use the weapon of prayer and praise, then I'll just tell you what, the enemy is safe. I'd like for the devil to feel completely and totally unsafe. Amen. Instead of him terrorizing us, I'd like to be a terrorist organization. In this sense, I'd like to terrorize the devil. Amen. For the good people, I don't have any desire being a terrorist like the Muslims are and so on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'd like to terrorize the devil for sure. Amen. Because he knows he can't withstand what the church is doing. And I want you to understand that if the church ever got to the place where they had the power of God in their lives, we could shake the gates of hell. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Back in World War II, you know, there was a great battle going on in Europe and South Pacific. And for whatever reason, the Americans had fought in World War I and kind of drew back and said, well, I just don't want to be a part of that battle anymore. We're tired. We're just going to defend America, and that is it. And I'll have to admit, sometimes that may sound good, but if Hitler takes over all of Europe, you think he's going to be satisfied with Europe? It's the way the devil is. He's never satisfied with whatever the church allows him to have. Amen. But then the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and that was a tragic thing. Many soldiers, many of our servicemen died there in a pitiful way, in a cowardly act. But then after that, America got involved in the war. And the Japanese emperor said, I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant. Amen, friend. The tide of the world history changed when they woke up the sleeping giant. I'm here tonight to tell you the church is going to go on. Amen. I think the sleeping giant ought to wake up and start using our spiritual weapons, amen, and go to prayer, and go to praise, and go to witnessing, and go to getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and asking God to give us the gifts of the Spirit so we can defeat the powers of hell. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's tell everybody about the cross, amen, that he died upon, and the blood that he shed to cleanse us from our sins. Amen. Because God not only wants the church to be encouraged, and he wants us to be warriors and spiritual, in a spiritual sense. Amen. He wants us also to win people, because it's God's will for the church to grow. It's God's will for more people to be involved in the church and love the church and want to lift up Jesus and come to the house of God. Amen. I'll never forget when Janie Hartshorn came that Sunday morning. I've told it a couple of times now, but as I preached on the church of the firstborn, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. It's obvious the Lord had moved, and she came up, and somebody shouted across here this way, and somebody shouted across that way, and there she was right in front of me. And I said, can I help you? She said, I want what you all have. I said, well, the way you get it is you pray and ask Jesus into your heart. You ask God to forgive you. You turn from your sins and believe that what Jesus did upon the cross pays the price in full, and you're a part of the church. Amen. Glory to God. And I believe that that's exactly God's will here tonight. He wants to encourage the church, but he wants to build up the church. He wants more people to be a part of the church. Could we all stand here for just a moment? Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you so much for the church. I thank you for placing it upon the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. I'm asking that tonight there would be people, if they're not saved, that they would come to Christ. And I'm also asking that the church would wake up and become the militant powerhouse that you want us to be. Move by your mighty Spirit and help us by your grace and glory. And I thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you this. If you died right now, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or hell? There's only two places. It's one or the other. And it's appointed unto man once to die. One of the missions of the church is to get people ready to meet God. And we want everybody here ready to meet God. You said, well, Brother Lloyd, I'm a pretty good person. I'll go to heaven. No, no, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I have, and you have. So, that's out. You know, you say I'm a pretty good person. You may be a very good neighbor, but I'll tell you the truth. That's not good enough to go to heaven. You say, well, Brother Lloyd, I'll just tell you, this is the way it is. Me and God's got an agreement. Now, wait a second. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God don't make agreements about sins. You have to confess them and repent of them and turn from them. To confess means to say the same thing about. In other words, you say, God, this sin that I like a whole lot is exactly as nasty and dirty and filthy and wicked as what you say it is. God don't make agreements on sin, folks. You say, well, I belong to a church. I've been baptized. None of those things matter. The question I have is, have you had an experience with God? Are you born again? Are you trusting Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. Because he's the only one that can. And if you do, you're part of the church. You don't have to sign a card. You just get born into it. I want to ask, is there someone here say, Brother Lloyd, I need to be forgiven of my sins. I want to be a part of the church. I want to be born again. I want Jesus to save me. Would you raise your hand right now? Anybody at all? Anyone at all say, I'd like for the Lord to save me. I'd like to be born into the church of the living God. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone raise your hand? If you want to come and pray, you're sure welcome to come and pray. You say, I want to make that commitment. I want to trust what Jesus did. Listen, it's not what the church can do. It's what Jesus did upon the cross that saves you from your sins. Does anybody want to come and pray and kneel at this altar and ask the Lord's forgiveness and say, Jesus, come into my heart, change my life? Anyone want to come to this altar right now? We'll sure be glad to pray with you. Sure be glad to pray with you. Well, you're welcome to come with us, but I'd like to encourage the church with the tongues and interpretation, with the message. I want you to know that God is able to equip us to be the church triumphant, and the church can go on. Let's all come around the altar, ask the Lord to fill us up with his power. Sinner, friend, backslider, you're sure welcome to come and pray with us. God can change your life. It's all through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Jesus saved.